Hey, you hear me now?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. So we're good to go.
Fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to play the intro. I don't know if you'll hear it, but it will record, so we're grand.
Okay.
Welcome back. Coming up, it's the greatest show on Earth. An absolutely hilarious and brilliant spectacle with the most amazing and charismatic hosts on the planet. This will be epic! But first, it's the Dean Show. Warning, this show may contain oop. Thanks for coming on the show, first of all.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be back.
It's been a while since I've had you on. Hey, just as a matter of conversation, what's going on with your show? Like, I haven't seen any episodes of Thoughts Out of Context in a while.
I haven't like done a whole lot lately because like, well, it's been a combination of things. Like I've been like busy with work. Like, for the most part, and then also, like, I don't know, like, there were just, like, a lot of times where, like, I just wasn't feeling it, you know? I mean, it's hard to, produce content if you don't feel like, you're going to be doing anything that's worthwhile. So, like, I'd felt like that for quite a while, but I'm slowly getting back into it. Like I said, I've kind of decided to sort of, like, I guess, like, for lack of a better term, like, turn Thoughts Out of Context into a brand and just make different shows underneath the banner of Thoughts Out of Context.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what had been, Thoughts Out of Context, I'm thinking of just turning into, like, a sort of, like, like, small, like, panel show called Witty Banter, where, like, me and anyone will just talk about anything.
No, I get it. Like, I consider doing something like that with my own show a long time ago, like making more of a brand where there would be different kinds of shows, one on, wrestling, one on gaming, one on, whatever the topics, and kind of split up different things, and that was just going to be way too much work.
That's definitely, like, what's sort of been, like, keeping me, like, back a bit, because, like, for a lot of thoughts, well, I'll split off on these different shows, and I'll do, post an episode of this show this day, an episode of this show this day, and, like, there is no way in hell I'd be able to do that. There's not enough hours, there's not enough hours in the week, so I'd say, like, slowly but surely, like, they're gonna start, like, coming forward. Like for the most part, like, I've been focusing on, one of the sub-shows that I've been doing is This Is Gonna Suck, where I look at bad reality television, which I realize is an oxymoron.
No, I did actually see a new episode of that. I haven't got around to listening to it yet, though, but what did you review on the most recent one?
Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
Never heard of it, but I'll give it a listen.
Consider yourself lucky. Oh, God. It was the most painful, like, 22 minutes I've ever had to sit through on YouTube.
Oh, that reminds me, like, I'm pretty sure last time you were on, we were talking about the Jersey Shore and that kind of thing. And I actually got around to watching a little bit.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Well, I can't remember if I watched Jersey Shore or if I watched the UK version, Jersey Shore, but I watched, I was over at a friend's house and we were, waiting for our film to come on or something. We had a few minutes to spare. We watched half an episode of the show, and it was just the most excruciating thing I've ever had to sit through. That was just awful. I'd rather undergo some kind of painful surgery without anesthetic than have to watch that again.
Yeah, that's exactly like one of the things I said after watching Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. I'd rather have unnecessary invasive surgery multiple times over than have to sit through another episode of that.
Yeah. And so what's the premise of that show? Like,
well, first and foremost, it's a spin-off of another reality show called Toddlers and Tiaras, which focuses on the ultra-creepy world of child beauty pageants.
Oh, God.
Yes, and I guess apparently this one girl, whose real name is Alana, her nickname is Honey Boo Boo, apparently she's a very pop... a popular character with people. So TLC, which used to be known as the Learning Channel, decided, hey, let's give her and her rednecky family their own half-hour TV show.
Did they give them tables, ladders, and chairs?
No, but God almighty, did I want to subject more than a few people on that show to that.
Oh, that's, it's sad the way TV is going, but there you have it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's say, like I've been mostly looking at bad reality TV on that. I'm definitely going to branch out of looking at bad movies also, so, you know, thankfully I have Netflix to turn to for that.
Yeah, there's always Netflix. I'm sure there's a ton of bad movies on there you could watch very cheaply.
Oh, yeah, I'm quite sure, but I know are you familiar with the production company known as The Asylum?
I've heard of it, but I couldn't name anything they've done.
It's like, yeah, they have quite a few movies on there. I know the one that's in my queue that I've had, it was like last year or something, I had like a poll up of, you know, which Asylum movie do you want me to watch, and two movies tied. The Asylum's version of Sherlock Holmes, which was awful. And the other one was Sunday School Musical, basically their mockbuster version of High School Musical.
So, there's, well, I don't know, surely High School Musical can only get better, like...
I don't know about that. Listen, I haven't watched that movie yet, but it's in my queue, and I've seen a review that was done of it by a couple people who work for thatguywiththeglasses.com. Mm. And it's going to be painful when I finally sit and watch it.
Wow. Well, hey, let's talk about something that might not have been painful to watch. Is it safe to assume you saw the most recent WrestleMania?
I did not, actually.
Oh, you didn't? Wow.
No, like, well, it's... like, I would have liked to, but I mean, you know, it was like $65, like, here for it. Yeah, that you know, I haven't regularly been watching, you know, WWE... you know, on a fairly regular basis. Like, I would tune in, like, every now and again, but, you know, honestly, I can't remember the last time I actually sat and watched any WWE programming, like, well, aside from last week when I watched the Raw after Mania, because I thought, well, you know, it's technically, it's the start of, you know, I guess the new year, if you will,
yeah.
May as well jump on now, seeing where they're going with things.
I'll be honest, like, I hadn't really watched... I missed the last couple of Manias, you know. I hadn't watched much wrestling at all for a couple of years now. Even Bret Hart's return went unnoticed by me. But I thought, you know, I'll watch this one, just why not, you know. It's much mm-hmm. cheaper over here. And, you know, it was decent, but it wasn't spectacular in any way. But like, before I talk about it, like, tell me about that Raw, because I read online just that was a crazy show, like, in terms of the crowd reactions and so forth.
Yeah, it was... yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. Like for the most part, like, it seemed like sort of like your typical, like, I, well, like, from what I recall, it seemed like your typical, you know, Raw crowd, like, them, you know, like, reacting sort of, you know, like, how you usually expect them to react. But then by the time, I think it was, like, maybe the 9 o'clock hour or so, when it was Randy Orton versus Sheamus, they just started chanting for the most random things. There was an RVD chant... a Randy Savage chant, an ECW chant. They chanted for JBL, for Jerry Lawler, for Michael Cole, if you can believe it.
Ooh, Michael Cole, goddamn.
That's how you know these people were nuts.
Even Michael Cole doesn't chant for Michael Cole.
Yes. I mean, just slightly better. Like, so, like, Randy, I guess, like, the storyline is, you know, like, Randy Orton and Sheamus and Big Show are all angry at each other for whatever reason. I know that, you know, it sort of stems from the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. defeated the three of them at Mania, and then Big Show decided to take it out on Orton and Sheamus after. So the storyline going into the evening was that both Sheamus and Randy Orton wanted, you know, to fight the Big Show. And, you know, they both went to... I think Sheamus went to... Vicky Guerrero and Orton went to Teddy Long. They're both like, all right, fine, you have your match. And then they confront each other, and then became a situation of, you know, vote on Twitter who you want to see fight the Big Show. And I think Orton won the Twitter vote, but I believe after that, It was either Booker T or Teddy Long. I can't remember which of the two. And I just realized how unfortunately racist that sounds, but anyway. Like, anyway, some authority figure came out and said, you know what, you two will fight each other, and then we'll face the Big Show at a later date.
So wait, we've got Booker T, Teddy Long, and Vicky Guerrero all as authority figures on the same show?
I don't know. I want to say I think Vicky is the GM. I think she and some other guy. I believe thing said his name is Brad Maddox. I believe like his character was like he was a ref, but he's gone rogue, something like that. I don't know, but I believe Vicky.
Sylvain Grenier.
Oh, if only. But I believe Vicky is the authority figure for Raw, and I believe Teddy Long and Booker are both authority figures on SmackDown, and for whatever reason, it's been like this for a while now, like, Raw has, like, a lot of times it's still, like, you know, Raw Super Show, it's like, brand split, it doesn't matter, everyone's on the show, it's like, oh, great, yay.
You know, I wonder when they'll just finally get around to, you know, removing the brand extension and just having everyone all the time again.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it's honestly, the brand extension hasn't meant anything for like years now. If memory serves me correctly, I don't even think they had a draft last year. If
wow,
memory
so
serves
just,
me.
They just gave up on that.
Possibly. Like I don't remember it. Like I said, I didn't, you know, watch it that regularly, but I usually, you know, at least see, you know, online, like, usually from other recap sites and whatnot about what's happening. I don't recall them mentioning anything about a draft. Back to Raw. So, like, Orton and Sheamus are wrestling, and then Big Show runs in and beats the crap out of both of them. The crowd chants, "Thank you, Big Show," as he's beating the hell out of them. Because, you know, I guess no one at the Izod Center wanted to see that match anyway, I guess. And so he's beating the hell out of them. He's taking it outside, beating them up. The crowd starts chanting "cotton candy" at one point.
Oh,
I'm guessing, you know, in honor of a vendor who was going around. But I remember watching them, like, are they chanting "cotton candy"? And then the next day on YouTube, there was a highlight video posted of the crowd chants that had it, you know, the subtitles. And I'm like, yep, they were definitely chanting "cotton candy" while Big Show was beating the ever loving crap out of Randy Orton.
So was it a case that, like, the match was just really boring, or, you know, was it just a weird crowd?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to describe. Like I said, that was, you know, that was a strange one, and then, you know, I can't remember if this happened before or after that match, but there was a handicap match that night, Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. former big-name wrestler back in the day, Dutch Mantel.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that, you know, apparently, like, Zeb and Swagger's gimmick is now they're like, you know, like hardcore, you know, Patriots. Basically, like, think of, like, how JBL was when he first, you know, debuted with his, you know, cowboy persona, except more extreme, and to the point, you know, burger foreigners, they took our jobs and blah blah blah. Like, so anyway,
is that not like a little bit controversial to put on TV?
Yeah, a bit, but, and, you know, like I said, I'm distilling it to its, like, its bare essence. I'm sure that, like, there's more to it. Like, I didn't, and like I said, like, I've only just started, you know, watching again the last week or so. So there may be more to it that I'm just not, you know, picking up on. But that's the bare essential of it. So, Del Rio ends up winning the match, but not before, you know, Swagger, you know, really works on his ankle throughout the entire course of the match. And so, you know, as soon as the match ends, Del Rio's the winner, and then Dolph Ziggler's music hits, and the crowd loses their collective mind, because here comes Dolph with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Okay, so he cashed it in.
Yes, he finally went and cashed in. I do believe my reaction on I post on Twitter and Facebook was something to the effect of, okay, here's your Dolph Ziggler cash-in. Can we shut up about it now?
Wow.
Because
so did he win the title then?
Yes,
spoiler
he did.
Alert. Okay.
Yes, he did. Dolph Ziggler, cashed in and defeated Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight title last week. Oh, and
I'm not a fan of Dolph Ziggler. Like,
I think
that was one of the reasons I stopped watching wrestling on a regular basis was because of people like Zack Ryder and those guys and Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus and. There was just that particular subset of people that all seemed very samey to me, you know?
Mm-hmm, understandable.
And no one has a character anymore, apart from The Undertaker. Like, he's the only person with a gimmick in the whole company.
Right, well... It's interesting you mention that, because... Like, after, all this happens, comes the golden moment of the evening. Fandango finally makes his debut on Raw.
Ah, yes, I heard about this.
Yes, and so as he and Kofi Kingston are wrestling, the crowd begins to sing and dance to his entrance music. It was glorious. I loved every second of it. And the fact that the announcers acknowledged this was happening was even better.
From what I can recall from seeing him on WrestleMania, like, his entrance music didn't even seem very sing-alongable, you know.
Oh, believe me, this crowd in New Jersey found a way to make it work.
Wow.
That's
pretty cool. I've got to go watch this.
Yeah, I was greatly, greatly entertained by it, and I would... And then I've read some... Excuse me. Like, I've read some, some people post on Facebook and Twitter that it seemed like it was less reactive or less apparent last night, on Raw, especially in terms of fandangoing as it's called now. So a lot of people are saying if WWE tried to force this into a meme and by effect kill it. They're not going to be pleased. I'm not going to be pleased either because, let's face it, that crap's funny. I don't care what you say. When you have, like, thousands of people sitting there singing, and doing a finger point dance, that is comedy gold right there.
Yeah, I guess, but that's, that's WWE for you. They just think they can cash in on everything and they'll just ruin it.
Yeah, this is true. You have to wonder what they're thinking sometimes because, I'm still puzzled by the fact that Antonio Cesaro, not on Mania.
No, I was disappointed about that.
I mean, I'm like, boo. And apparently, according to the dirt sheets, that's because Vince isn't that high on him. I'm like, you are a fool, sir. It's like, well, great.
See,
now, it's like, now we have to wait at least...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, hopefully next year,
yeah.
Antonio Cesaro, a.k.a. Chikara's own Claudio Castagnoli, will finally get his WrestleMania moments. And I mean an actual WrestleMania moment, not, he'll be on screen for 5 seconds, or he'll do the pre-show Battle Royal or anything like that. Have him actually be on the card, because he has worked long and hard to get here.
Hmm. Well, see, that's always been the problem, is that Vince doesn't understand wrestling,
No.
So... If Vince understood wrestling, the main event at WrestleMania would have been, involved people like Claudio Castagnoli and Mike Quackenbush and Skyder and people like that.
Yeah. Oh, only in our dreams.
Yeah. Oh, well, so just very, very briefly to talk about Mania, like, I watched it all. I haven't actually gotten around to watching Rock and Cena yet. I'm saving that. Recorded that. I'm going to save it just because I ran out of time. I've heard it's... it's not as good as you would hope anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, other matches, most of them I didn't care about, until... Okay, I watched Triple H and Brock Lesnar was, whatever, what you can expect from that kind of, no DQ style, two big guys beating each other up match. But Undertaker CM Punk, that was the one I wanted to see,
I heard that was a very good match. I definitely want to see it just for the sake of seeing The Undertaker's entrance... alone. I've only ever seen the one screenshot of him standing there with the hands reaching up to him. I'm like, holy crap, that looks cool.
That was so cool. But the problem, the one thing I didn't like, was that he didn't have the usual druids with the torches that they normally have.
Mm-hmm. That's usually a really great atmospheric thing for Mania when he has the druids there. But as a lot of people said, it made sense because Punk went and made this thing personal. Crap's going down. No time for druids.
I guess. Actually, what are your thoughts on Undertaker's character in general? Because I was thinking about this and I noticed that first of all he lost the hat. That was disappointing. But and the short hair and everything, and it occurred to me that what we've got is essentially Biker Undertaker with spooky music.
I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, it's... I will say this. I mean, it's... he's definitely come a lot... in the, 22, 23 years he's been around, he's definitely come a long way from just being, the tall, nigh indestructible zombie-like, individual he was when he first started. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because let's face it, he made that work. He's made that character work for over two decades now.
Mm. To make the character work over such a long period of time, especially given WWE's hatred of gimmick characters, you've really got to keep, changing the character, and I like that. It just kind of, I was disappointed that, I just want to see him come out with the tie and the purple gloves and the, the hat and everything.
Rather than
just wearing a singlet and, looking a bit generic.
I know what you mean. I do like the fact that he's still going with, the whole dead man look, because honestly, I was not a fan of Biker Taker.
No, nor was I.
It's, it just didn't work for me. It was a change in direction. He was still the same, highly aggressive ass kicker that he had always been. But now he's coming to the ring to Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, that was a bad move.
I don't know very many bikers, but I don't think many self-respecting bikers would listen to Limp Bizkit. I don't think many self-respecting bikers would, spend time in the same room as Fred Durst.
Hmm. Actually, it had never occurred to me before, but that song is just inappropriate for a biker, but you're right. It just doesn't work.
No, I mean, it's... I mean, if you look at Limp Bizkit, you don't think this is the type of music that, men clad in leather riding on Harleys would listen to. I mean, they would listen to, Motorhead or ZZ
yeah,
Top.
Yeah, it has
or,
to be some classic rock.
Some sort of, classic metal or southern rock or something like that. That's, not keep rolling, rolling, rolling. No.
That was completely inappropriate.
It was just, makes my head hurt just thinking about this sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So, what do you think about, the streak? Because, obviously everyone knew, there was no surprise going into the match that Undertaker was going to win, but do you think he'll ever, he'll ever lose? I guess that's the question people have been asking for years, but...
I don't know. I mean, it's... There's definitely an aura and a mystique around it, which makes it, really cool that, they still, play it up after all these years. No disrespect to the Undertaker, I think, he's a great, he's a great character, and he's a good wrestler thing, but, he's nowhere near as young as he used to be. I mean, like I said, it's been, 22, 23 years he's been around now.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think that, last year he could have cemented it at 20-0 and been done with it, and I would have been okay with that. I'm okay with him coming back again this year and taking it one further with 21-0 and having a terrific match with CM Punk. But where do we go from here? I mean, I know a lot of people are saying I was saying that, you know, I've seen some people say that, you know, they think that the streak will come to an end, you know, 1 year when it's Taker versus Cena.
No.
Yeah. Like, and honestly, I have nothing against John Cena.
I hate him.
I'm sure he's a nice guy and everything. He's a serviceable wrestler, but I do not accept the thought of him being the one who ends the Undertaker's streak. I cannot see that happen.
I remember how scared I was when Triple H fought Undertaker, and I thought, no, don't book yourself to end the streak. You know, you will just kill wrestling forever if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, he didn't, though. He had a bit of decency about him, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then when the next year, the rematch, I thought, oh, no, he's really going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually, you know, he actually had he was humble enough to let Undertaker beat him 2 years in a row, and I was really surprised at that from Triple H.
The question remains, you know, like, you know, where do we go from here? Like, who will he face next? I mean, will he even, you know, come back, for next year's Mania? How long will they go with the streak? I mean, will they, like, honestly,
The trick is to keep going for another year or two until you find that one wrestler who's really, really good and who you want to give a huge push to and let him make his career out of beating Undertaker.
Yeah, I could see that happening. That's, you know, that would be totally understandable. As unlikely as I think this may be, like, maybe, you know, just have it go on for, you know, 4 more years, have him cemented at 25-0, and then quietly ride off into the sunsets.
Yeah, that works, I guess. The only worry is, like, if he has 4 more years left in him.
Yeah, this is true.
Maybe the other option is to make it be a really big name that beats him, like, you know, just like a really legendary figure. They could do Kane, because that would be the epic storyline concluding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could just go for, like, someone huge, like The Rock, or even Hulk Hogan or something like that, if he's not dead by then, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We'll just have to wait and see, as frightening as the prospect is, trust creative on this one, which is a frightening prospect.
Yeah, that's not the best writers these days, to be honest.
No.
Okay, we're gonna go ahead and dash into a segment, so I'm gonna play a little bumper, which you won't hear. Media reviews and discussions. It's the things that we read and watch and play, spoken at words to you because you care. La 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 la. Okay, so this is the media segment. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, WrestleMania falls under media in some sense anyway. So,
yeah, it makes sense to me.
I guess we just progress a little bit more. I just, you know, use this segment to mention just some stuff I've been doing and, you know, watching and playing and whatnot. In terms of gaming, I've been playing Lollipop Chainsaw. Are you aware of this?
Yes, that is a fantastic game. It is easily one of the most ridiculous games I've ever played, and that's one of the reasons why I love it so much.
It was, yeah, like, that's, as soon as I heard the title of the game, I had to buy it because I knew what to expect, you know, straight away.
Oh.
And it didn't disappoint.
Oh yeah, I mean, with a title like that, it's like, you just have to at least even give it a look. I mean, it's like, those are two things that should not go together. I am instantly intrigued.
And the best part was, like, the first achievement I got in the game was called something like, you know, oops, I did it accidentally, and it was for accidentally peeping up Juliet's skirt. So
yes.
That was hilarious. First achievement.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, like, one of the biggest appeals of the game is the writing style of it, that it's, like, it's basically, like, you know, you're playing through, like, what could be considered, you know, like, a B-zombie movie. Like, I think it looks like something that you would see, like, put out by, like, you know, you know, Troma Entertainment, which, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with them or not, but they're a production company. They do a lot of, like, low-budget, like, exploitation-type films. Like, they did The Toxic Avenger.
Mm.
Like, it's... I haven't seen a whole lot of Troma films, but it's definitely, like, sort of that, you know, sensibility. Like, lots of... Yeah, lots of gore, lots of TNA, lots of ridiculous dialogue.
Yeah, like, the dialogue is one of the best parts of the game. Like, there are some of the even the not just the conversations between Juliet and her, head boyfriend,
yes.
Nick, but just the whole, disembodied was the word I was looking for, but just the whole, all the dialogue, you just rescue someone's life, this boy's life, and then he just turns around and says, you know, I need a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Or you rescue a girl's life, and she's like, I need more tampons. It's just like, just random lines like that that just don't make sense.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that, Tara Strong is the one who does the voice of Juliet, like, that's even funnier because, like, in my mind, like, I hear the name Tara Strong, I think, I think Bubbles from the Powerpuff Girls, I think Twilight Sparkle from My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and here she is voicing this cheerleader just slicing the hell out of zombies with chainsaws. It's like, this seems wrong somehow, and yet...
Wait a second, you have blown my mind. This is the same person who did Bubbles in the Powerpuff Girls?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, she was, try to think what some other ones. She was Princess Clara and Toot on Drawn Together. I didn't know this until I listened to the podcast Fat Man on Batman by Kevin Smith. He interviewed Tara Strong because she does the voice of Batgirl in one of the animated series. She was the first American voice of Hello Kitty.
Oh, I have avoided that like the plague. Like, put it this way, I've avoided it to the extent that at one point in work we were selling, like, these little key things, or I don't even know, and some girl said, you know, what's this? And I looked at it and I said, I think it has something to do with a cat, but I'm not sure. That was my understanding of Hello Kitty.
Yeah, it's... on the note, did you know that there's actually coming to television, like, I don't know if it's coming your way at any point, but I know it's... There's a TV station here in the United States called The Hub. They're the station that's brought back a renaissance of, like I said, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. There's a new Transformers series, a new G.I. Joe series. Apparently, as God is my witness, I'm not making this up. Coming soon is Kiss Hello Kitty.
Oh.
Yes. Hello Kitty mixed with Kiss. I'm frightened at what this could be.
Wait, you mean the band Kiss?
Yes.
Oh my God. Those are... Either it'll be a terrible and childish, or it'll be one of those weird things that just works because it's so mad, you know?
Yeah, you never know. It's... It's highly possible. I mean... it's on The Hub, and The Hub is the one who brought us My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and, you know, we've seen how, you know, the brony community has spouted up from that. I, for one, consider myself a part of, you know, that community.
I've never seen any My Little Pony either, plus, I don't know, I've never had the interest in ponies, you know.
It's very interesting, this interpretation. Like, I remember very little of the old series because I was, you know, only ever saw bits and pieces of it when I was younger, but, you know, I say this new series, but it's been around, like, two and a half years now, something like that, but it's really quite interesting. I think it's very, it's well animated in, though it's, you know, it's, I believe it's Flash that they used to animate, but all the same, it's well animated, it's well voiced, it's well acted, it's well written. It's, like I said, like, a friend of mine, you know, actually turned me on to its, you know, a couple years ago, a friend of this friend who turned me onto it actually happened to have a DVD with the first 5 episodes burned onto it. He's like, go ahead, take it, give it a watch, let me know. I'm like, well, okay. And then I was like, well, this is interesting. I must keep watching this.
See, my problem has always been, like, I assumed I would hate it, you know, not because, again, not because I think I'm some kind of manly man who can't watch that kind of thing, but the reason was because my only experience of My Little Pony was on Nickelodeon as a kid, like the ads for the toys that you would buy, and those were just awful, and that just turned me off the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. Ads for kids' toys were... They were really strange back in the day sometimes.
Oh, God. And anyway, so back to Lollipop Chainsaw. Like, it's going to segue into the next piece of media I want to talk about anyway, but it was just the bright animation, the fun storyline. Well, obviously, it's very short, and that's really disappointing, you know. But it's just a great game. Like, the combat's basically, you know, there are combinations you can learn, but you're probably just going to go ahead and mash all the buttons, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's your basic hack and slash.
Yeah, and it works, like, in a way that I didn't even expect. Yeah. I thought it was going to just look like a cheap PS2 game, but it does work in a really cool way.
Yeah, and believe me, I have nothing against hack and slash games. Some of my favorite games are hack and slash games. Gauntlet Legends, I love that game. That's basically a hack and slash.
But the best part for me is when you go into Sparkle Hunter.
Yes,
that is amazing.
Yes, yeah. I not gonna lie, I marked out the first time we go into Sparkle Mode and Mickey by Tony Basil starts playing. I'm like, oh my God. God, this is wonderful.
You have provided the segue for me. Then I have been listening on my iPod to that song on a loop for about a week now.
It's a great song just because it's a good kind of cheesy. And if you ever seen the music video, oh my Lord.
Yeah, I had a look at it. Like, wow.
So stark and ridiculous. I mean, it's... Like, just in case there's anyone out there who hasn't seen this, trust me, go to YouTube, type in Tony Basil, Mickey, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. It's Tony Basil and, like, half a dozen other women dressed as cheerleaders in this white room, dancing around and doing cheerleading routines, and you just, you wonder why, and at the same time you're like, okay, I can get behind this.
Of course. I never liked the song before because it was just a cheesy song that I remembered, you know, growing up. I had no interest in it, but it just worked so well in the scenes in that game that I just had to, you know, check it out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Context is everything.
Yeah, and I love it. You know, out of context even.
Yes.
So to move on from that, like some other stuff I've been listening to. Actually, quite a lot of Shawadi Wadi. Do you know Shawadi Wadi? They might be like not familiar to Americans. I'm not sure.
I don't believe so. The name doesn't ring a bell. Of course, then I also don't listen to a whole lot of quote unquote mainstream radio music. Not to say
they're from the 70s or 80s or something.
Oh, okay. Well,
but
yeah.
Basically, they did. They were like a retro 50s band in the 80s.
Okay,
so they just did 50s rock and roll, and they all wore very brightly colored, jackets and everything. So
okay,
anyone, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so sort of like a Stray Cats style, I'd say.
I guess, yeah. Like it's very fun, you know. If you ever want to play rock and roll in public, but you can't because it just sounds too dated. Like this is the thing you can play because it just sounds more modern and fun, but it's still 50s rock and roll, you know.
Huh. May have to check
it's
that
pretty
out.
Pretty good. And the fact that they're called Shawadi Wadi is just...
Oh, yeah, that's just the metaphorical icing on the cake.
Yeah. Let's see, what else have I been... I've been listening to, Slayback. I'm not going to dwell on this for more than a couple seconds, because I'm sure you wouldn't be interested, but he's basically a crazy Polish DJ, and he takes, you know, your standard pop and dance tracks... And he does these bootlegs of them, where basically, rather than just your standard remix, where it's just still a standard dance track, every song just gets interrupted, and I guess what we would call the bridge is just this weird little jumpy, dancey tune that sounds very video gamey and strange. And he just puts that little tune into every song, and it's strange, but very danceable.
I want to say, I think I may have actually seen YouTube videos of this guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know, I might be thinking of... I might be thinking of someone else. I remember I would... Like, is he like a club DJ or a radio DJ? What, like,
oh,
what
it's
sense?
It's like a club DJ.
Okay, yeah, I'm thinking of someone else then.
Okay.
Because I thought I saw, like, his videos of, like, this radio DJ. He was either Polish or Russian or something. And he had, like, YouTube videos posted of, like, him, you know, on the air and taking requests and such.
Oh, I don't know. I've not heard of that.
Yeah. I don't even remember what the guy's name was, and this was, like, years ago when I saw that, so like I said, my memory might not be, you know, what it was.
Yeah. I think this guy's fairly recently appeared on the proverbial scene. Just back to gaming though, I've been playing recently, surprisingly, SmackDown Here Comes the Pain.
That one's a classic. That is a classic game. I still have my copy. I haven't played it in forever because my PS2 isn't hooked up to anything at the moment. But yeah, I definitely think that's one of the, like, that's one of the, you know, games I'm definitely going to hold on to, you know, probably forever. Like, just because I like the fact that, you know, when you go into the season mode, like when you choose your character, you can choose using either the stats that are already there, or you can use the custom stats where you can try and build them up from the, you know, from the bottom.
Yeah. Like, to be honest, I'm really only doing it for multiplayer, you know, just like classic split screen. Well, not even split screen, actually, in a wrestling game. But, you know, classic localized multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I originally bought the original WWF SmackDown, but, you know, the nostalgia wore off very quickly, and it's just not a good game by, you know, modern standards. So I upgraded to one that was... I wanted to go pre-SmackDown versus Raw, you know, so I went for Here Comes the Pain.
Right.
It's pretty good. But I'm thinking of just going for the nostalgia trip again and getting WWF In Your House, because that was a crazy game.
Oh, wow. I had not played that one, but I definitely played WrestleMania the arcade game, which was, I guess you could say, the predecessor to that one.
Like, I was doing a bit of reading about it, so like I'm aware that they had, you know, WrestleMania came before. I don't know anything about it, though. But I do know that, like, In Your House was just very cartoony and, I mean, obviously it's 2D as well, but the characters would just do strange moves. Owen Hart would throw these giant, you know, cards, like playing cards, and Undertaker would shoot weird, spooky things, and it was very bizarre.
Yeah, that was definitely what's, the sort of thing that you'd see in WrestleMania the arcade game, also, like, yeah, Undertaker threw, like, spirits at you, doink, had, like, this hand buzzer that shocked you, like Blanka from the Street Fighter games. Razor Ramon's hand would turn into, like, a razor blade as he chopped you.
Wow, there's something to be said for that, because one of the reasons I stopped buying the SmackDown vs. Raw games is because they started getting too serious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got too complex, and it wasn't fun anymore. Like, the last one I got was the one ECW was in, just because I wanted to do flaming tables and all that.
Right.
That's like, these games are all good. Once they took that away again, then it's just the same game every time, and they keep making it more complex and quote-unquote better, but it just took away from the old-school kind of retro fun aspect of just beating someone up in a game.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, Like, comparing, like, the older games to the newer games, I definitely miss the control scheme of the older games. Specifically, the whole, you know, quickly mash buttons to avoid being pinned, as opposed to, like, in the newer games, like, I know in WWE 12 and 13, they have, like, a meter, and you have to time your button press so it's in the correct space on the meter so you can kick out.
That's just nonsense.
That annoyed me after a while. I mean, it's, you know, you can only, you know, play again so many times and miss the mark and, you know, have to play this particular match to advance in, you know, the story mode over and over before you think, you know what, I'm going to put this away for a while.
Yeah.
And let's face it, just there was just something that seemed right about, you know, frantically mashing the buttons to kick out.
It's intuitive. Right. It just works. Like, that's an else. The games, one thing that really annoyed me was when they started doing those, and it is in Here Comes the Pain as well, is when they did those, like, little body indicators where you get hurt And when that it made sense, you've got to get hurt. You got to get hurt. It would go through like from yellow to red.
Yeah.
The more hurt you got, that was fine because it made sense. Like then you go for the finisher when they're hurt, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what annoyed me was that your character would just like stop and oh, I'm in pain now, and you just couldn't use him for like a few seconds, and that really pissed me off.
Well, it's you have to admit though, it was an interesting feature for them to do that because let's be honest, if someone's been, kicking the crap out of you for, like, a good, 10 minutes, you're just going to want to stop and, grab yourself in pain every now and again. It's like, oh, God, why?
I mean, I guess so. And I'm pretty sure other games did, like, a fatigue thing as well, where you'd be running and then you'd, like, get tired.
Yeah.
I don't know. I quite like the simpler, like, the older games where you wouldn't get tired, you wouldn't get hurt, and no matter who you were, you could just pick up someone much bigger than you, and it was more unrealistic, but just fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because all the characters were balanced as well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. What you gonna do? Hey, I'm watching some TV shows as well, just to round off the media segment. Do you know a show called Sledgehammer? I'm pretty sure it's an American show.
I think I've heard the title. Is it a... If it's one thing, was it like an older like detective show?
Yeah, it's a comical 80s cop show.
Okay, I've heard the title. I don't think I've ever seen it before though.
I've been watching a lot of it because like I watched the pilot and I was captivated because he goes around. He's this tough guy, cop who wears sunglasses. He's ridiculously sexist, and his idea of being a policeman is just that you speed up anyone and shoot anyone that comes near you, Or there's an obstruction and he'll just pull out like a rocket launcher and just blow the place up. But then when the actual series started, it was more like the violent character is a given and you don't really see an awful lot of it and it's more like comical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of disappointing. It's like maybe if they'd done a full series where he was like one season where he was like in the pilot, and then a season where it became more comical, that would be fine. But we only really got one episode to establish the character, and then the whole show was, like, joking about the character that you didn't actually experience properly.
Right, right.
It didn't really work as well as I wanted it to, Basically, I wanted it to be so ridiculous that it was funny, instead of just being a comedy,
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the 1980s television for you.
Yeah, let's see if I've been there. Oh, do you know a British comedy show called Are You Being Served?
Again, I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever watched it.
I'm watching a lot of that, and it's as well, it's like a... It's set in old-fashioned, posh British, department store,
mm-hmm.
and everyone calls each other by their, Mr. and Mrs. With their surname, even though they've worked together for, like, 10 years, and they're very hierarchical, and you don't, speak out of turn... And it's funny just because I love to make fun of British people, I guess. I don't know. But
fair
then,
enough.
Like, that show, that was a, and it's an iconic show when it ran for, like, 10 years. But then I discovered, like, just recently that they had a spin-off that only ran for 2 years, where, like, all the staff went to work on, like, a little English country farm / hotel. And that was really weird. Like, it made no sense at all, but it was great. Because they were still acting like their usual characters, but they just didn't fit into the rural environment at all. So there'd be, like, some chickens out, and you'd have the old farmer, he'd be like, oh, arr, gotta round up me ends. And then they'd be like, ah, no, let's have a conference. How do you think we ought to go about persuading the chickens to return to their living quarters? And it was brilliant.
Doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah. Oh, that's... That's one of my favorite kinds of comedy, is just, like, posh English people not knowing how to work outside of posh English society. Anyway, I think that's all the media. I did watch one other film, Maximum Conviction, starring Steven Seagal and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, wow. that's quite the combination.
Yeah, that's what you'd think, except that they very rarely appear on screen together in the film.
Wow.
It sort of takes the, hey, here are the two stars, now they split up for the entire film and meet up, once or twice.
Hmm.
Which was a bit of a letdown. And, Like, I love... I watched it because it's a Seagal film, and I love Seagal, but... It was a good film. I did enjoy it. I think it was a step up from some of his recent work. But putting him with Stone Cold didn't work, because Stone Cold was going around kicking ass. And then Seagal was... just looked really underwhelming, like, in contrast. Hmm. So you'd have Stone Cold just going around, you know, just fisticuffs, you know, beating everyone up, killing people in cruel and unusual ways. And then Seagal's fight scenes were him just standing still. And when people ran at him, he would just do his little slapsies. And it didn't work, you know? I think that's the reason he keeps turning down the Expendables as well, because, like, he's just going to look bad in comparison to anyone else.
Right. Somewhat on the note, did you know that Steve Austin has a podcast now?
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know this until, like, a couple days ago. I haven't heard anything yet, but I saw someone posted that on his most recent episode, Stone Cold talks about getting a mani-pedi, which is a manicure and pedicure.
Ah, that's not very extreme, is it?
No, but honestly, I thought, okay, I must go to iTunes right now and subscribe to this, because I've got to hear what he says about this. So, you know, hopefully it is, you know, downloaded and waiting for me, because let's face it, the thought of Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about, you know, going to a spa, getting all pretty, getting all spiffed up, hilarity in a bottle.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, before we move on from media, is there anything you want to talk about, anything you've been watching or playing or listening to?
I'll just talk about a couple things briefly. I saw quite a lot of stuff this past weekend, actually. Last Friday, I saw Jurassic Park 3D.
Wow, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it came out a couple weeks ago, I think, to celebrate the 20th anniversary re-release of the film. I definitely think it's one of the best 3D refittings that I've ever seen. I know a friend of mine on Facebook had said, you know, you watch this movie and you almost think that, like, you know, when you watch, you know, trying to format my thoughts here. Like, when you watch, you know, the newly, you know, three-dimensional movie, like, you almost get the feeling that when Spielberg first shot this movie, it was almost like he intended it to be 3D eventually at some point. It just works so very well.
Wow. I might see if I can... I have to look and see if it's showing, like, in cinemas over here. I don't know if it can live up to my expectation. I have seen very good 3D dinosaurs before. You know, when I was a child, I had a picture book with the red and blue glasses, you
mm-hmm.
know. So that was some realistic shit right there. So
yes.
Like, I don't know if Spielberg can live up to that, but we'll see.
Yes, I'm sure he will do his best. Does that, and then after that, last weekend I also took in a couple of musicals, actually.
Hey. Oh, cool.
Yes. Last Saturday at York Little Theater here in York, Pennsylvania, I went to see their production of Cabaret. It's the basic summary I can give of the musical is the basic theme: Nazis hate the performing arts.
Well, why not?
Yeah, it's like I guess that's, you know, that's kind of, you know, vague and whatnot. Like, basically, like it tells the story of this American novelist who goes to Berlin during on the verge of World War II, just as the Nazis are coming into power.
Uh huh.
And it basically tells the story of, you know, of him and this cabaret singer, an English woman by the name of Sally Bowles, who performs at this nightclub in Berlin called the Kit Kat Club. And it's basically tells about the relation between these two and the nightclub, and, you know, how they're trying to cope with things in Berlin as the Nazis are beginning their rise to power. It was a very good, very good show. It's from what I've heard, it's been very well attended. In fact, I actually saw one of the people in the show. They posted on Facebook earlier today. Let's see. At the time we're recording this now, it's 4:14 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. As of that moment, there are 16 tickets all total left for this weekend's shows. They may all be gone by now, so I'm glad I had the chance to see it last weekend. But the fact that like the fact that the show is, you know, selling out, you know, that's fantastic for a community theater. I mean, you know, opening night had sold out like a month before they opened. So I think on, you know, on name recognition of the show alone, people thought we've got to see this. And so that's, like I said, I'm, you know, I think that's fantastic because, the arts don't do so well, you know, in a whole lot of places, and the fact that this show is doing very well for York Little Theater here in Central Pennsylvania, good sign, I think, definitely.
Yeah, have you been involved with any productions yourself lately?
I was actually back in March, they did a production of Godspell at York Little Theater, and I was the stage manager for that one.
Oh, cool. So what exactly does that involve? Like I don't know theater very well, so.
Right. Well, basically, stage management basically, for all intents and purposes, that's the person who is in control of the show once it's out of rehearsal. So make sure everything, you know, is on track during rehearsal. I make sure, people are there when they need to be, find out where they are. If they aren't there, make sure we stay on track with, you know, what we're doing, whether it be, you know, working on scenes or music, making sure we're back, you know, from, you know, scheduled breaks on time. And, you know, that's all during the rehearsal process. When you get into performances and technical rehearsals, that's when all the interesting stuff happens because as the stage manager, you are, like I said, you are in control of the show. Like, you're in control of light cues, sound cues, movement cues. Basically, anything that happens on stage, the stage manager makes sure those happen at the right time.
Wow, so pretty tough job. Like, did everything go smoothly?
Yes, it did. Things went very smoothly. The only really major hiccup I can think of is, it's like early in tech week, the lighting designer had to make a correction on some of the early cues. During the show, there's this whole prologue where the cast members like sort of take on the personas of various different philosophers. And sing like a small verse like based on, you know, like their philosophy. Like there's one, like for example, there's one person who took on the persona of Socrates, another who took on the persona of Immanuel Kant, another who was Nietzsche, like that sort of thing.
Actually, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm a big lover of philosophy myself, so that sounds pretty cool.
And so, like, I guess, like, the lighting designer initially programmed, like, all the cues to have, like, this faint blue light in the background, and the director decided, you know, that doesn't really work, so they needed to take out the blue wash. So, and the line designer went ahead and did so, and I guess in doing so, she accidentally removed one of the individual special lights we had for one of the performers. So the way it works, the first cue of the song was just a light shining down on one person. The next cue was a verse split between two people. So when the cue shifted, it would be the light on person A. And then the next two was a light comes up on person B while the first light on person A is still on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when she was removing the blue wash, she accidentally removed person A's light from that next cue.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully it was just a tech rehearsal. So this actress ended up, you know, being, you know, in black for that verse, which was thankfully very short. And so myself and the line board op said, well, you know, let's see if we can, you know, fix it so that we can add that light back into there. And for whatever reason, the cue wouldn't record with the light added back into it. So
what did you do?
It was a very simple fix, actually. Like you just said, okay, well, like when you call this cue, I'll just, you know, manually put up the dimmer that light is on.
Okay, so it was easily fixed then.
Yeah, it worked out very well. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was, you know, like, it was a lot of work. I mean, you know, I I mean, like, I would, like, sometimes jokes like, oh, yeah, I put out a whole lot of effort. I, you know, sit upstairs for an hour and a half, blah, blah, blah. It's like I sit upstairs for an hour and a half and say go, and someone pushes a button and things happen. But believe me, leading up to it, yeah, it's definitely a lot of work. Because, like I said, you know, have to make sure everything's organized the day before. The day before the first technical rehearsal, the director and I sat down, discussed where he wanted the light cues to be. I have to, you know, write those down in my copy of the script, and then, you know, the next day discuss it with the lighting designer to let them know, okay, this is where this cue goes, and then plugging in additional cues as needed. Like, it's a lot of work, but it's worth it, and I loved it, and I definitely wouldn't mind, you know, I wouldn't mind stage managing another show in the future, but, you know, that's probably still a while off. You know, the next theater goal in my mind is about a month from now, they're having auditions for Mel Brooks as the producer, so I'm definitely looking forward to that next month.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yes.
Okay, let's see if we can... I've got to go pretty soon because I'm going out drinking, but let's see if we can rattle through another couple segments.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and hit another bumper. These must be great for you, not being able to hear these bumpers, but anyway...
Looking out my window, looking out my window, you know I'm looking out my window, looking out my window, what's going on?
Okay, this is the What's Out My Window segment, and it's a very short segment, and it's literally what it says, what's out the window. So, what I do is look up and see what's outside my window, and hopefully it'll be something interesting, but actually at the moment it's just darkness. And my car. So that's not terribly interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you have access to a window, like, nearby where you happen to be?
No, I do not, because I'm in my basement.
Oh, so you don't have anything out your window?
Nope, I have a wall in front of me, and it's fantastic.
Well, there you have it. It's probably just as interesting as what's out my window at the moment. Like, see, sometimes it's cool if I record in the other room. I have like a cat on the roof, and that's always nice, like trying to get into my bedroom. But where I am now, it's literally just my parked car.
It's like, I'm sure if I were, you know, in my room in front of my computer, if I looked out the window, I'd probably see, you know, the tree outside my window, the sidewalk, and my street, and that's probably it.
Mm.
So, you know, on the whole, the wall is probably slightly more interesting since it's a change of scenery.
Well, that's literally that entire segment. I don't know why I do it, but I think it's funny sometimes, you know. It's sometimes it works, and actually it's, you know, we've done worse things. I'm pretty sure one time you were on, I tried to get you to do a duet singing about types of soda.
Yes.
So you know, this wasn't as bad as that.
No.
Okay, let's roll on quickly to the politics segment.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the politics segment. Because it's even cooler with the kids than the shipping forecast was.
And the political news in the UK is, I don't know if you've heard, and I don't know if you care, and I don't even care, I live here, is that former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher died.
I do remember hearing about that. I remember hearing about two things that came in the wake of that I found kind of interesting. One was the push to get Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead to number one on the UK music charts, that's kind of harsh. I think. I mean, like I said, I know very little about Margaret Thatcher and her politics and how things were under her reign, but still, that's a little harsh. And the second thing I recall hearing was Jonathan Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, you know, basically refusing to, you know, say anything negative about Ms. Thatcher in her passing. Like, he said something to the effect of, you know, I was, you know, her enemy in life, but I'm not going to be her enemy in death. And anyone who, you know, feels that they have that they have to do that is, you know, a gruesome person. So, you know,
yeah, definitely. I mean, there are loads of groups here who really hated her. You know, activist groups and stuff, and even they're saying, like, there's no reason to do anything now, she's dead, you know, just...
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you heard, like, getting that song in the charts, I hadn't heard about that, actually. That's nothing. There were street parties, like, all over the country. That's ridiculous. Like, I don't care. I don't know anything about her, so I don't have a comment either way. I know that she's not very popular, but the bigger story now, more than her having died, is the fact that they're spending £10 million, so I guess $20 million, on her funeral.
Oh, wow.
Like, at, you know, taxpayer expense.
Right, right.
Whilst, of course, they're cutting back on things like, you know, schools and education and hospitals and stuff like that. You know, things we need, and they're spending $10 million on her funeral.
That's... It's amazing to see where the priorities lie sometimes.
Yeah, and I think I heard a rumor of like a possible statue of her being put up as well. It seems like the government are really celebrating her, and like everyone else in the country hates her. But the cool thing was like members of parliament were getting paid something like almost £4,000 to attend her tribute session in parliament.
Oh wow.
So basically, I don't really understand the equivalent in American politics, but that's a politician being paid almost $4,000 to turn up and do his job, you know, and attend his regular session.
Not even kidding, that's literally like half the amount of money I made all year at my job last year. That's insane.
Yeah, I know. And of course, some of them didn't turn up, you know, as a protest or whatever, but still, like, that's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so briefly, what's the political climate in the U.S.?
To be perfectly honest, you know, I don't follow, you know, a whole lot of that. Like, I consider myself politically apathetic. I feel it's, you know, easier that way. But, you know, I will, you know, comment quickly about one thing that happened just yesterday, actually. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but I believe it was there were actually two bombs that went off yesterday at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, I heard last night.
Yeah, it boggles my mind that something like this could happen. I mean, it's, and listen, you know, I don't know, you know, the whole story, like, I don't know if, you know, there are any suspects, if there are any leads, but I know that I've seen some people post that they think it's, you know, it's a conspiracy. It's, you know, it's a false flag action, something like that. And from my understanding is that, a false flag act or a false flag action is basically basically when, you know, something is set up, like, you know, an attack or something like that, but there's, you know, facts that don't quite add up or don't make sense, so it makes you think, you know, perhaps it's everything's not what it appears. I would just barring all the political stuff and everything, you know, it's terrible that something like this happened. Honestly, my heart goes out to everyone who is in the Boston area, who was involved, who may have been injured or, you know, killed, and, you know, all, you know, everyone who, you know, knows anyone out there, like family, loved ones, and so forth. Honestly, it's 2013. Humanity, this shit has got to stop. Honest to God.
Pretty much, yeah.
It just boggles the mind that there was someone out there who would think, you know, for whatever reason, and this is a good idea. This will help me get my point across. No. Just no.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's not get into a serious philosophical discussion about it, but, you know, people suck. Let's just stipulate that.
Indeed.
Okay, let's move on to something a little bit lighthearted. It's one of my favorite segments, Front Page News.
We interrupt this program. Special news report. Welcome to News Hour. Let's take a look at some of the headlines today. Front Page News. Welcome to the news. Front Page News. Got a very special news story for you here today.
Welcome to the news.
This week, a man was killed while mowing the lawn.
So this segment is basically comical newspaper headlines. I looked at the newspapers and didn't see anything interesting at all, so I've had to resort to two articles on the Huffington Post. Number one, DJ killed Anthony Thompson after fight over penis face drawing, court hears. A DJ killed a man after waking up at a party to find a penis had been drawn on his face. The Old Bailey, I guess that's the court, has heard. The joke turned sour when fellow partygoer Anthony Thompson, aged 26, was punched to the ground outside. They dropped his head straight to the floor and he died from brain damage, jurors heard. Well, that's not good. I mean, I'm not... There's, you know, manslaughter charges and so forth. But, I mean, basically, let's see. She said Mr. Evans had fallen asleep in an armchair when morning approached and some condoms had fallen out of his pocket. I got my lipstick out and drew a penis on his face. It was done for a laugh. And then he got up and killed someone, I guess. So that's a bit of an extreme reaction to, like, a drunken prank, but... I guess that, as we said, people suck.
Yes.
And the next one, I love this. I haven't read the story yet, but just the heading is brilliant. Three Emirata, I don't know how that's pronounced. Basically, three men are ejected from a Saudi Arabian festival by religious police for, quote, for being too handsome.
Huh.
Three men were ejected from an annual cultural festival in Saudi Arabia after religious police, that's a scary thought in itself,
yes.
After religious police apparently deemed them to be too handsome to be in the festival. Wow. That's brilliant, you know. I like to think that that would happen to me, you know.
Yeah, we should all be so lucky.
There's a picture here, like, I don't know, it looks weird, like a weird thing going on, but it added that the urgent measures were taken to deport the man. Wow. Just for being handsome. Dang. Well, that's those are my two funny news stories. I guess we're pretty much done. Is there anything you want to do?
Since we're talking about front page news, I'll bring up a story here from that trusted news source, The Onion.
Everyone's favorite.
Yes. Here's one of today's headlines. Local man knows he moved to Minneapolis for something, but can't remember what. After packing up his apartment and moving across the country to Minneapolis this weekend, area man Matthew Goddard told reporters that he has a vague idea of why he relocated from New England, but he can't quite remember exactly why he now lives in the City of Lakes. I think I came here for a new job, or was it a girlfriend? I gotta say, I'm completely blanking on why I currently live here, the visibly confused 31-year-old told reporters, adding that while he can't recall having family in the Minneapolis area or needing a change of pace, it's quite possible he was accepted to grad school there, but he admitted none of those things are ringing a bell. Don't get me wrong, Minneapolis is a fine city. And now that I'm here, I can definitely imagine staying for whatever reason it is I moved here. Was it for some sort of health reason? No, I'm fine. At least I think I'm fine. Goddard later remembered that he moved to Minneapolis because he really likes Prince.
Oh. Not the best reason to move, but...
I can think of worse reasons to move to Minneapolis. I can't come up with any right now, but I'm sure there are plenty of them.
Hey, I don't know if I ever mentioned it before, but did you ever see the Onion movie?
Yes, I did. That was quite strange.
Yeah, I mean, I only watched it for Seagal's cameo, you know.
Yes.
Oh, well, anyway. I think we're just about done. I've got to go get drunk, so...
Sounds like
thanks
a plan.
Thanks for coming on the show again. It's been a while. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, do you want to plug your site before I let you go?
Sure. Said, you know, blog posts I'm trying to get them up semi-regularly at the Thoughts of Context blog, which is, it's been so long since I've been there.
Drama Guy CJM.
Yes, thank you. It's dramaguycjm.blogspot.com. I also have a second blog up. It's a food blog focused on buffalo wings around the York, Pennsylvania area. That's wingsofyork.blogspot.com. There aren't a whole lot of entries on there just yet, but I have a whole backlog of stuff I need to put up, so hopefully, you know, entries will be coming to those two sites fairly soon. And like I said, the podcast can be found at excuse me, at podomatic.dramaguycjm.com, or just go to podomatic.com, search for Thoughts Out of Context. Like I said, you know.
I think you mean, would it be dramaguycjm.podomatic.com?
Possibly. Like I said, it's been so long since I've done this.
I'm just guessing, like, I don't
know. It's possible. Like I said, best course of action would just be to go to podomatic.com and search for Thoughts Out of Context, or search for it on iTunes, like I said.
Yeah, it's in iTunes. Like, that's the easiest way.
Yeah, and like I said, Thoughts Out of Context has become the overlying brand. I'm planning on, dividing into, like, three signature shows. This Is Gonna Suck, which has been looking at bad reality TV, and we'll be looking at, bad movies, witty banter, which I hope to make into sort of like a, conversational panel type show, hopefully having, interviews on every now and again, and still working on the second episode of my homage to Smart Wrestling Fan, Intelligent TV on DVD Fans. Gonna be looking at the second disc of season one of Arrested Development. Hopefully I will have that out before season four of Arrested Development hits Netflix in May.
Cool. Oh, if you're gonna continue like the standard show, definitely keep up the Quotes Out of Context, because that was a really enjoyable segment.
I've been thinking about doing that. I'm definitely gonna have to recompile it, because like the flash drive I had the master list on like stopped working like shortly after the new year, so that was really disappointing. But thankfully just go to WikiQuote, go to different pages and try and find stuff. So that one may make a resurrection on Witty Banter. We'll just have to wait and see. And that's pretty much it. And if anyone out there is on Twitter and would be interested in following me, it's at DramaGuyCJM. So it's pretty easy to find me out there on the internet.
Okay, with all that said, I've got to go put on a shirt with snaps that rip open easily and some sunglasses and bright blue disco shoes and go and boogie. So I'll check you later.
All right, thank you kindly.
You are listening to the Dean Show for some reason.
I hate you, Dean.
Okay, so that was most of the show with Boney the Dog. And as always, thank you, Chris McGinnis, for joining us on the show. Let's see what's still to come. We're supposed to have an interview with Meredith O'Connor. That's going to be cancelled because... Well, I did, again, the time zones were messed up the first time. The second time, she just no-showed, so, even though she was the one who contacted me and asked me to interview her, so I don't know what's going on with that, but I will play her song, Celebrity, later on the show. I'm just having a look at what segments we've got left. I think What's On Your Town is coming up next.
Update, news update. What's on in your town, Buster?
Okay, here's what's on for those of you living in Aberperth, Wales. Barley Saturday. Since the 19th century, the last Saturday in April has been a big event in the region of Cardigan. Farming event. Also, the Cardigan Ramblers, a short walk from Cardigan the Otter. Cardigan Footbridge Class C, an easy 3 to 4 mile walk. You can take place in that. And also the Wales One World Film Festival for the last 11 years. The WOW has explored the edges of contemporary global cinema and so provided an unrivaled window on the world that gives audiences all across Wales the chance to see the best in world cinema. Those are all coming up at the end of April. Okay, that was what was on in your town. Again, if anyone heard the wrong town and not their own, email thedeanshow@hotmail.com and let me know. So what's still to come? I'm going to play a song of mine after January. I'm just going to tick off what we've covered already. Covered media. Oh, we've got to hear from our sponsor. I guess we can do that very, very briefly now. This month, The Dean Show is sponsored by the Flipchart Extreme Corp. How fast can you flip? Flipchart Extreme! And that was a message from our sponsor, Flipchart Extreme Corporation. Okay, we've done Window, we've done politics, Meredith's not happening. Yeah, I think we did front page news, I'm not sure. We've covered, see, this is why I hate people. Also, another reason I hate people, they escape from the loony bin and try to steal your, take your shoe. It's time for improv time, improv time. Come on, everybody, do the improv time and improv. Okay, I would like to buy these items. Yep, that's fine, go ahead. I'd like to pay you a visit, change, some change. I have some change. Yeah, sure, I don't mind taking change. It comes to £4. Okay, I have all 1p, 2p, 5p. No, no chance, mate. What? No, this is money. You have to take this. No chance am I taking this shrapnel. No. Pine coins are nothing, mate. What? No, this is not correct. You have to take my money. Look, mate, I'm not going to sit here for the next hour counting your random loose change. If you'd buy it properly, then maybe. I'm not going to sit here counting all this. Oh, I want to speak to the boss. Go ahead, mate, but I'm telling you that I'm actually in charge at the moment, and I am not counting this stuff. I have already counted. It's fine. I know exactly how much. No, that's not how it works. I have to count the money. No, here, take it. Go. Hey, come back here. No, what? He just laughed. Some time passes as money is counted. Damn it, 50p short. See, this is why I hate people. Okay, it's time to hear from our good friend, No Probs McGrobs. Sorry about the random noise, I'm clicking my pen. And I see that he's accompanied by his good amigo, Biscuit Tins, McGrisket Tins, McTins, McGrew. How are you doing, No Probs? I hear that you actually missed your train. Yeah, I missed my train, but it's no problem for me, because I'm No Probs McGrobs. You crazy kids. Okay, that's the No Probs McGrobs. Not too much left to do. I think the main segment that we've got to do is the bad advice, but first I'm going to play my song After January. Okay, so we're going to do that next. Time for After January.
Girl, I want you all so bad. You're the best that I have ever had. And when I see your smiling face, I long for your sweet embrace. And I want you by my side, with your arms stretched open wide. You'll hold me in your arms, and I'll know the magic of your charms. Whoa, I'll never let you go. Oh, ain't never gonna let you go, girl. With you I want to spend my life, it's with you I want to spend tonight. And I miss your loving touch, and I miss you oh so much. You're the one thing in my life, and girl I want you for my wife. And remember when we listened to the songs of old and kept each other from the cold? I want to give you my love as sure as the sun shines down from above. I miss your perfect smiling face, and I miss your warm embrace.
I'll never let you go. Ooh, I never want to let you go. Ooh, I'll never let you go. Oh no, oh no. I never want to let you go, girl.
Oh, why did you have to go? Maybe I will never know of the short time we had. Not one moment there was bad. And as I tasted of your chalice, I just tried to give you satisfaction, but you ran away, never coming back to stay. And though I miss your tingling touch, it's holding you I miss twice as much. As I wait for nothing, I grow weary, knowing it'll never be after January.
Oh, I'll never let you go. I never want to let you go, girl, no. I'll never let you go, no, 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 no. Ain't never gonna let you go, girl, whoa. Ain't never, 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 whoa. Ain't never gonna let you go, girl, no, no, no. Ain't never gonna let you go, whoa, whoa.
I think since Boney left, we've had bad audio quality. Hopefully it's mended slightly now. I think I fixed the settings a little bit. Anyway, that was after January. Hope you liked it, and hope you didn't. You know, someone stopped me in the street last night, and they're like, you know what? I heard your music. Good King Wenceslas. That wasn't good. And I was like, oh, don't listen to that. Don't listen to my music. It's not very good. And he's like, yeah, I know. Anyway, let's look at the advice section, because everyone needs a little bit of a helping hand from time to time.
Yow, that's sore in the ears. Don't do that. That's your first bit of advice.
Hey, this is the advice segment, where all the great advice exists. So, yeah.
Okay, we're going to help some people on Yahoo Answers. Question number one. Long story. Please, please, someone give me advice because I feel so confused and upset. Well, I can help. I'm sorry, it's long. Yeah, no worries. This could be very long. We'll try to get it. It's only so long because you keep saying how long it is. You're both 20. You don't know why you've listed your star signs. I'm not going to read that out because that sounds like nonsense. We've been talking for about a month and a half and met after 3 weeks. I would say we've been in contact every single day. He texts me every day. Okay, the repetition's probably why this is so long. Okay, the dates were fine. We kissed, okay, and hugged. That's fine. Yeah. Looking into your eyes, sneaking up behind you and hugging you. What is the problem here? Tickled you? Okay. Laughed at jokes that weren't funny? Right. I make it clear I'm not the type of girl that goes for further physically or have sex without being in a relationship or getting to know him better. So what is your problem? Wants to meet up with you again? Okay, he wants to hang out. A day later, he seems confused. He tells me he doesn't feel he's ready for a relationship or doesn't know how he feels. He likes me, but he's not there yet to have to be exclusive. Okay. I don't understand what this person's complaining about. You told him not to be distant, okay. Okay. Today, the first day since I've known him, I haven't received a text. Ah. He said he didn't want to hurt you. Because he doesn't want you to love him and he doesn't love you. Okay, I see what's happening. Last time you met, your goodbye lasted for about 5 minutes and kept hugging you, didn't want to leave, but now he's not texting you. He's got over you in like 1 day. What's happening? You were friend-zoned. That's rare. Now he's texting you, hi honey, how are you, XXX. You feel a difference in his texts. I don't understand what help do you require here? Probably you should just go ahead and have like a kind of semi-serious, not serious, more of like a casual kind of relationship and just see where it goes. Is it fair to... New question. Is it fair to impose views like this on your child if it demands they lower their sense of worth as opposed to an egalitarian upbringing? And then there's a link to something I'm not going to read, but no, never impose anything on anyone, you idiot. New question. I want to have a sleepover party, but ? I'm only allowed 2 people. I really want 2 girls, but then there's this girl who thinks I'm her best friend. It'd be really annoyed if I didn't invite her, but I don't really want to. The next day, me and 2 people are going to go to the carnival that's being held in town. Another reason I don't want to invite her is that she always turns up her nose at me, and one of the girls I want to invite doesn't like singing. And the others want to play SingStar. What are you, like a 14-year-old girl in the 90s?
First world problems.
But you don't want to upset anyone. Well, the trick is to just invite who you want. Or just invite 3 people anyway and say, whoops, they turned up by mistake. Saws mama and papa. Let's see if we can find another question. Okay, you need to skip that next question because it's about bodily discharges. Okay, next. My boyfriend called my best friend sexy. So me and my boyfriend were talking, and he made what I hope was a joke by saying he want... Oh, okay. Just from the title, it sounded fine, but now he's asked for a threesome with you and your best friend. They laughed, and you assumed it was a joke. No, it's not a joke. And later he said she was sexy. I see. This really hurt you. Yeah, it probably would. What can you do? Okay, I'll read the second half. So this really hurt me. I told him I was upset. and he said he was joking. Am I being too touchy, or is he being a dick? I'm genuinely upset about this. Posted 1 minute ago. No responses. Well, yeah, he's a guy, and if he thinks your friend is hot, then probably he wants a threesome. You don't even need to ask the question. Maybe you should just go for it. It might be fun. You might enjoy it, you know? Definitely he's being serious. Okay, next question. Going to a prostitute while my wife is pregnant? No, just don't do that. Your wife is 6 months pregnant with twin boys, and she's tired and she cries and she moves around in bed and you don't find her attractive because she's too fat. What a dick! You're the one who fucking got her like that. I've been visiting an escort on Friday nights just to release some stress. Oh, that's a very nice thing to do. It's very discreet. And she's a goddess on earth who will plenty of things my wife doesn't do. I'll stop after the boys are born. Is there a problem? First response, not for you, but there's a problem for your wife. Second response, you're an asshole. Yeah, you know what? That's better. Yeah. What? This... I mean, I get it that you shouldn't maybe have your freedoms restricted. Go ahead and do whatever you want, but what you did there was just, you were just a dick. Like, you will be judged for that. You're being a very bad person. I'm sure your wife can help you out in some ways. Okay, next question. I fancy a teacher, ! He's without an apostrophe, young, ? Well, the first thing is to go and learn to have punctuation and grammar. Okay, I fancy my music tech person. I work really... No punctuation in this whole thing. I fancy my music tech person I work really closely to with other friends, and people think he likes me too, ? You spelled too wrong. He only ever wants to work with me. I stay on Friday, even though my friend struggles, and he's always go behind me to move my hand to the right place. Also, he's always complimenting me. Do you think he likes me, and what should I do? He said I'm a natural, and my voice is really good. Also, he's only 17 to 19. Oh, well, then go for it. It's not fair, because he's just a tech rather than a teacher, I guess. He only just does some stuff on Friday afternoons. The two responses just say it's fake. No, I think you should probably go ahead and get some yowza there. Okay, let's have a wee look at F My Life and see if we can help a couple people on there. Because I love helping people. Today is my only day off work in a while. I told my boss I'd be available via phone in case of emergencies. So far I've been called 3 times to ask how the fax works, to let me know that it's a slow day, and ask me where the letter R is on the keyboard. Yep, same for everyone. Today's been over 3 months since my housemates ended their 1-month-long relationship. He's still creepily obsessed with her. He picked the bathroom lock when I was in the shower and tried to get in, then called me an effing C when he realized it was me in there and not her. It's creepy. Very creepy. Oh, my phone. It was just work call, which is funny because I just did the thing about work calls. Hey, wow, I've got no charisma today. Anyway, today my boyfriend and I attended sexting for the first time. After about 20 minutes of Star Wars references, I gave up. Yep, that will happen. But I posted a video of a dance I choreographed on Facebook. I got a notification a few hours later telling me that my grandpa had also shared it. His caption: my granddaughter dances like a gay baboon, and this dance sucks balls, threw grapes at her. Here's the advice we use to get a new grandpa. Today my long-distance girlfriend drunk dialed me and told me she was horny. Surprised, I exclaimed, "You're horny?" without realizing my boss was right next to me. Wouldn't worry about that at all. Today my boyfriend and I attempted... Oh wait, I just did that one. What? Today someone at my workplace yelled at me and filed a complaint for staring at them too often. I'm a lifeguard. Get a new vocation. Today I told the guy I've liked since we were children and I'm madly in love with him. He replied, "Oh, I love you too. As a sister." I was speechless. He patted me in the back and said, "Better luck next time." Wow, that was kind of dickish. Did Today I had to break it to my girlfriend twice. Apparently the first time she thought I was kidding. Aw, what? That's... Don't be mean. Today I was again turned down by a potential host family on a student exchange site. Their reasoning was basically that because I'm American, I might do something to endanger my health, get hurt, and then sue them over my own stupidity. Response, you should sue them for discrimination. No, 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 the advice is that you should stop being American, because that's exactly what you would do. Basically, I don't know what you want me to say here. Can't really give any advice to that. We'll do one more. Today I briefly left my laptop while I went to use the toilet. When I came back, I found I had posted on Facebook calling my mum a stupid C who should just stay in the kitchen. The only other person home at the time was my grandpa. She didn't believe it and permanently grounded me. Again, for the second time, get a new grandpa, and also for the first time, don't leave your laptop anywhere ever. Also, maybe get a new mum. Yeah. Shall we do one final one? Today, after years of loaning my mother countless amounts of cash that never get paid back, borrowing $60 from her, and being just one day late paying it off, due to food poisoning, she sends a very large man to my door to collect it, like she's Tony Soprano. Good heavens. Get a new mum. Anyway, that's enough advice, because you people suck. Notice I used the sound room tip thing, because I didn't use it on politics, because I was... Boney was on the line. Anyway, I've played after January. We've talked to No Pros McGrobs, our good friend. I think we've covered everything. I don't believe there was anything else that the network wanted us to look at this week. So I will announce I'm recording at the moment on Friday the 19th of April. I've got some friends coming over about half an hour because tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 21. And that's awesome, because I'm the best person I know. Also, I'm wearing this new cowboy bolo tie that I just bought. That's pretty cool. And I don't know if I mentioned it yet, but I've got these amazing blue, bright blue, shiny leather shoes, which are like some crazy disco thing, and they're absolutely awesome, and I'm the best person ever. Anyway, this has just been a short session to wrap up the show. After Boney left, we ran out of time, you see. Pretty much we're done. To add to the media, I'd just like to point out I've been watching a lot of Father Ted lately. If you don't know it, what have you been doing with your life? And, just going to bin my notes there. That's the show over. TheDeanShow@hotmail.com. Please get in touch, everyone. And I'm going to take you out with Meredith O'Connor's Celebrity.
Oh, I'll make you a pity, you don't understand. You take me by the heart when you take me by the hand. I'll make you what you're pretty, can't you understand? It's guys like you, Mickey. Oh, what you do, Mickey. So don't break my heart, Mickey.
Ah, sorry there, that was the wrong track. I've been listening to that song a lot. I've also been listening to Sexy Boy, the Shawn Michaels theme tune, Sherry's version. That's amazing. Anyway, here's Celebrity.
Cruel fake means sick, and I'm done. And The Dean Show is created, conceived, and hosted by yours truly, The Dean.
And was produced by Sophia Productions. I've lost my brother. Intro uses Foolish Girl by Ski Harvey, Something from the Public Domain, and Project Y by Trapdoor.
See, This Is Why I Hate People uses music by Jan Bostick and The Shining Skulls. The media segment uses The Pirate Song by Juna Knight. The advice segment uses music by the Magnificent Brotherhood. What's Happening in Your Town uses music by Maestros. What I See Out My Window uses music by Sonador. Politics
uses Sailing with the Captain by Dust Rhinos.
And background music by Soundroom Tip.
Front Page News uses Apple News by Paul Garay.
Outro uses Dog's Light by Bravo Max. All music used is Pod Safe and comes from CyberPR, the PodSafe Music Network, or other online PodSafe sources. If you would like to get in contact with The Dean, you may do so at the following email address, thedeanshow@hotmail.com. Give us your thoughts and feedback on the show, suggestions for ideas, or anything of the sort. Anything at all. And you can visit us at thedeanshow.blogspot.com. And you can also, while you're on there, visit our friends Cunty and Drunky, Thoughts Out of Context, Wiggly's World, and more.
The Dean Out of Context.